It's good to see you all again. If you will, come with me for our message tonight to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Our text will be verses 21 through 23, and I believe this morning I've partially quoted one of these verses, and this is a very serious, a very sobering portion of Scripture. And, you know, what we saw this morning was sobering also, seeing what we are by nature and in this flesh, and it's something we need to know, something we need to hear, be confronted with. And what we're going to look at tonight is just the same. It's something we need to be confronted with. Very serious. The title of my message is a question. It's a question that I believe would capture the interest of just about everybody on this earth. And that question is, who goes to heaven? I mentioned a song earlier. There's a song by my favorite country artist called Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. He said, but nobody wants to go now. That's pretty true, isn't it? Everybody wants to go, but nobody wants to go now. Who goes to heaven? I hope I have your attention. Look here with me, Matthew 7, verse 21. This is our Lord speaking. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What he's talking about here is in the day of judgment, when our time is come to stand before God Almighty and give account of our hope, why we should be accepted before Him into heaven's glory. Our Lord tells us what a lot of people's hope is going to be. Notice He kept saying many, many. Who goes to heaven? He just told us, not everyone. Not even everyone that comes, you know, with seemingly a decent hope, right? To the flesh, it seems proper to religion. But I want to show you this a few verses up. At verse 13, look at it with me. It goes well with our text. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The sad reality that we must face is that many, many are going to meet God. They're going on the broad, popular, widely accepted, commonly believed way, hope, belief, that leadeth to not life, but eternal destruction. That's what God said. He said concerning the way of life, that straight, narrow way, He said, few there be that find it. So, who goes to heaven? Not everyone. Not everyone. Many going the broad way to destruction, few going the way of life. Few there be that find the way of life. And it's sobering to me what we read in verse 21. Not only is it not everyone. Look at it again. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." That, I hope that really sinks into us, because what that is telling us is not everyone that is coming in the name of religion. They went on to say, "We're doing this in your name." Not everyone that's coming with their profession, with their supposed claim on God. Not every professing Christian who comes saying, "Lord, Lord," they're going to say it to me. Said not everyone, they're not all going to be accepted. They're not all going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I feel the need to say this concerning Christianity. You know, the term Christian, it's a scriptural term. I believe it says they were first called Christians at Antioch, if I remember right. It's a scriptural term, but growing up under the gospel, it didn't take long for the term Christian to kind of rub me the wrong way just because of how much it's misused. You know what I'm talking about. People use that term so loosely. Majority of this world probably claims to be a Christian. But Christianity is not what this world thinks it is. Here's what Christianity is. Here's what it is to be a Christian. It's to be in Christ. Christian. Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm a Christian. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's to be in Christ. It's not enough merely to say, "Lord, Lord." It's not enough. It's not enough. Men say a lot of things. We can say anything. We must know Him as Lord. We must bow to Him as Lord. We must believe on Him as Lord. Not we must accept Him as our Lord and personal Savior. That's the common message. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. Well, you need to accept Him. The whole problem with this approach that these people take is it's about what they did. We this, we that. That's the issue. Salvation is not me doing anything. It's not me making Him Lord, me making Him King, me accepting Him into my life, me following Him. That's not it. That's where people go wrong. And you know this. And I pray we can see it clearly. Our Lord clearly taught this here. In verse 22, the Lord said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name?'" Prophesied. Preached. You know, people think they prophesy. A lot of people think they're preaching. We saw this morning, we got to be sent. We got to be sent. God must do the sending. We don't send ourselves. We don't put ourselves in the ministry. We don't walk up to the pulpit and just start speaking. We must be sent. We must be called. This text is telling us that not only is not everybody going to heaven, not only are a lot of religious people not going to heaven, a lot of people who profess to be Christians, they profess to know Christ, a lot of preachers who prophesies, preachers, a lot of preachers are not going to enter in. Doesn't that just give you pause? Seriously, people trust somebody because they say, "I'm a preacher." I don't even like to say that phrase. I don't say that phrase, to be honest with you. I don't say it. It makes me tremble. Look at it again, verse 22. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name?" And notice, they said, "In His name." "And in Thy name have cast out devils." And I'll go ahead and tell you this. Our Lord didn't turn around and say that they didn't do these things. You know that? He didn't refute what they're saying. He just said they're not all going to enter in. They may have done these things. See why it's a serious text. "Have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works?" Many who do seemingly wonderful works. You know, I've known this for years, that people go on mission trips. And when I hear about that, every time it kind of turns me off. I'm thinking, well, I know where this is going. But you know what? What they're actually doing physically is admirable. It is. They're feeding the poor, teaching kids that don't have a teacher in a school and establishing these things, those are admirable things. But here's where they go wrong. They do it thinking they're doing God's work. They do it seemingly in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, saying we're sent of God to do these things. We're sent of God to preach Christ. That's it. Declare Christ and Him crucified. I don't do wonderful works. Again, we looked at this morning. We don't do wonderful works. We just don't. We don't. It's not in us to do. These men and women are going to stand before God pleading their wonderful works. And all that, they're going to be shocked to be rejected, because all their life they were told these are wonderful works. They were convinced of it. They were commended for it. Ignorantly. We saw this morning why our works are not wonderful. The reason is because we're corrupt. If I were good, then perhaps I could do good works. But I'm not good. I am corrupt. That's why it went on to say, our works are abominable. Abomination. No matter how highly esteemed in the eyes of men. Abomination in God's sight. That's it. That's it. All we do, and I don't want to sound harsh. I just want to declare the truth plainly and honestly. And that's why I'm commending these people that do these things. Religion does a lot of good things. But these good things that they do are not good works that are going to make them accepted before God. We should do good things seeking to honor Christ, not to seek to be accepted by those things that we do. There's a big difference. Big difference. Because we're not going to be accepted by these things that we do. I pray that the Holy Spirit would convince us of what we are and what we do. Now, if these highly esteemed, respectable, honorable religious people and preachers are not going to be accepted before God, then who is? You would think if anyone's going in, that's who, right? Isn't that what common sense tells us? Who's going in? Look at verse 21 again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Who here's done that? Anybody? How many sons and daughters of Adam are doing the will of the Father right now? I think we can sum it up by a verse in that Psalm 14. None. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. This is who's going to enter in. He who does the will of God the Father. That's who's going in. Well, who's done that? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Who's that? That's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. It was written of him, I come to do thy will, O God. Who goes to heaven? Christ. Simple as that. He's already there. Heaven's his throne. This earth is just his footstool. He inhabits heaven this very moment. He's on the throne. Arrayed in his glory. What hope is there for you and me? What hope is there for us? How can you and I be accepted into the kingdom of heaven? I'll tell you how. In Christ. Our hope is in Him who came to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Our hope is in Him. I can't do it. We can look at a lot of scriptures to see what the will of the Father is, but the only ones we're going to look at are the ones that show us Christ is the only one who can and did do it. All right? You can keep your finger in our text, Matthew 7, but we're going to look at in the book of John for this, for a little portion here. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. What is the will of God the Father? What is the will of God the Father? John 6, verse 38. This is Christ speaking. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. The Father gave His Son a people. He chose a bride for His Son, the elect. The Father's will was to send Him into this world to redeem those people, to redeem His bride, like Boaz did for Ruth, redeem His bride to Himself. There's a verse in Hosea that says, I betroth thee unto myself forever, as thy maker is thine husband. He came to get His bride. That's a beautiful thing when a man gets his bride, isn't it? I've been honored to have that privilege. Oh, how beautiful it is for the Son of God, God's only begotten, beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. God chose a bride for His Son. Now turn over a few pages to John chapter 10. These whom the Father chose and gave to His Son, they referred to in the Scriptures as the sheep. You have sheep and goats. The sheep are the elect of God, the bride of Christ. Look here, John 10, verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ came into this world for a reason, and that reason was to lay down His life for the sheep. Right here in verse 18, He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This was the will of the Father, for Him to come into this world and get His people and bring them home. Make them acceptable. Make them spotless like Himself, one with Him. He said down a few verses, He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Oh, praise His holy name. Look back at John 6, 39 again. It said, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. The Father's will was for Christ to lay down His life, not to make it possible for whoever will to be saved. He laid down His life for the sheep. Did you read anything about goats right there? There's lots of scriptures talk about hirelings and goats and wolves. He came for the sheep. He said, I'm not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Israel, God's elect, God's people. Didn't come to make it possible. He came to save us. You reckon He saved us? You better believe it. Saved us with an everlasting salvation. I love how it said right there, He ain't going to lose a single one. Nothing. But He's going to raise it up again at the last day. He's going to. He shall. And He shall not fail. In John 17, in His prayer, He prayed that all whom the Father hath given Him be with Him where He is. You know, that's our end. A lot of times I wonder how I'm going to leave this place. It don't matter how I leave here. It matters where I'm going. He said that they'll be with me where I am. Even so, He shall raise us up again at the last day. He will. That's the Father's will. Rejoice in this, brother. That's His will. And understand this. There's a lot of things that I will that I don't get. I would fill in the blank. We all have lots we could put there, don't we? What God wills comes to pass. This is His will for us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I better rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Here in John 6, look at verse 40. He said, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And here it is again. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Father's will is that all of His chosen people will see the Son. Have you seen the Son? His will is that we see the Son, believe on Him, and have everlasting life. What a blessed will. What a will. We couldn't have drawn it up any more perfect, could we? Oh no. Turn back a few pages to John 3. Everybody loves John 3:16. Let's look at the two preceding verses. John 3 verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, You know, Moses lifted up that brazen serpent on a pole, and everyone who'd been bitten by that fatal sting, if they looked at that serpent, they lived. Picture Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We must see Him lifted up. Specifically, it's talking about Christ being lifted up on a cross. That thief on one of his sides, I don't know if it's the left side or the right side, but one of those thieves saw his Savior lifted up. He didn't at first, but then he did by God's grace, by a miracle of God. He saw the Son of Man lifted up, and he had assurance from the Savior Himself that he had eternal life today. You're going to be with me. That's the end for the believer, be with Him. But know this. Not only must we see Christ lifted up on the cross, there were people who saw that who didn't believe on Him. I'm thankful to know that some of those that crucified Him, the Lord ended up saving anyway. He said, I pray for them. They don't know what they do. Father, forgive them. And then when Peter went and preached at Pentecost, we know they believed. A lot of people may have seen Him lifted up physically who haven't seen Him lifted up in His glory. We must see Him lifted up in glory, exalted as the successful Savior that He is. Back to John 6. We must see Him lifted up, but we won't. You know that? And we can't. It's not in us, too. We can't and we won't see Him lifted up. Look here, John 6, verse 44. Lord still speaking, He said, no man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We can't come except God the Father draw us. Praise God, it was His will to draw us. I love what He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. He said, yea, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of My love for you that changes not. He said, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. You know, we read verses like, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. You know why we come to Christ? You know when we'll look and see Him? You know when we'll believe on Him, come to Him by faith? When God enables us to see Him, no sooner. When God speaks to us, when we which are dead hear the voice of the Son of God and live, that's when. And that's the Father's will for us. Rejoice, brethren. Rejoice. And I love this. Here's the last one I'll show you on the Father's will. John 6:35. And let me say this. Our Lord was speaking to some men who were following Him physically because He had filled their bellies with a miracle, you know, when He fed the multitude. They're following Him. We read they wanted to make Him king, like we said, is the false message, the false hope. And they were just following Him for carnal reasons. And right here is when things got a little interesting, if you will. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen Me and believe not. Now look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you hungry? You know that I said the Lord filled their belly. But they didn't have a hunger in their soul. They weren't thirsty from the depths of their soul. I pray we find ourselves hungering and thirsting after Him who is righteousness. I pray that we might, perhaps for the first time, but I pray right now that we might find in ourselves a void in our soul that we just can't fill. You know that, I forget the name of the song, but you know it. All the only fitness He requires is to feel your need of Him. Ain't that the truth? Feel our need of Him. Pray God would enable us to. I pray God would cause us to come to Christ because He said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to cast out a hungry sinner coming to Him. He's not going to turn away a thirsty sinner begging for a drink of that everlasting life that He and He only can give. That water that is He Himself. The Father's will is that all who come to Christ, all who come to Christ, could that include me? All who come to Christ, whosoever will, let him come. He will in no wise cast out. Praise His holy name. I look back in our text, Matthew 7. You see, the Father's will is what must be done for a person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I pray we've just seen the Father's will is not something we do. And based on what our Lord said here about these people coming, claiming, you know, a hope of salvation based on their merits, their works, what they've done. And He said, you got to do the Father's will, and you can't do it. And by the time we're standing before Him at heaven's gate, it's going to be too late. I pray that we can truly see and believe that Christ our Lord and Savior has successfully fulfilled the Father's will. He came to do it, and He came and fulfilled it. Is that your hope? Is that your hope? What Christ did? Who He is? His accomplishments, not ours? Or is it this? Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. It's one or the other. We're either going to be accepted on Christ's merits alone, or our successful merits alone. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we don't have any successful merits. And there can be no mixture of the two. It's Christ or nothing. Christ will either be all to us, or He will be nothing at all to us. Pray He's all to us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. You know, people think there's lots of ways. I heard it said once, all these different religions, all these different denominations are just a bunch of different spokes on the same wheel. It's just not so. There's one way. It's Christ. There's one truth. There's not a lot of acceptable, true ways of salvation. It's Christ or nothing. And there's no other life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no life outside of Him. Our life, if God has saved us, here's what the Scriptures say, Colossians 3, our life is hid with Christ in God. You know the verse where our Lord said, I thank Thee, O Father, You have hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. These things, you know, those things that He said have been hidden, God hid them in Christ. Look to Christ. You want these things? Look to Him. Whatever these things are. These things are salvation. These things are life, joy, peace, eternal bliss. It's all in Christ. Everything is in Christ. I pray we need Him and Him alone. And the reason this is so important is because of what our Lord said emphatically in verse 23. He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you, look up on sermon audio. Henry Mahan brought a message called I Never Knew You. I believe it's his most downloaded message. Listen, I've listened to it many times. And it makes me tremble where I'm at every time. Because God is going to utter those words. And I pray we're not on the receiving end of it. I never knew you. It doesn't matter if I know you. It wouldn't have done you any good to know Henry Mahan. We need to know Christ. It's the only one we need to know. Life eternal is what? Knowing Him. That's what He said. John 17. We must know Him. God is rejecting religious people at the gate of heaven right now. This could not be more serious. It could not be more urgent. You know, a verse that often gets misquoted is, today is the day of salvation. You know what it actually says? Now is the day of salvation. Right now. Right now. If we die without Christ, we will die in our sin. And I can't think of anything more terrible. We will die in our sin, separated from God. We'll spend eternity apart from God, out of His presence, cast out into everlasting chains of darkness, torment. And you know, If you had the chance to meet Brother Cody Gruber, dear brother, one thing he told me once, he said, you know, a message like this, I'm not going to scare you into believing on Christ. You believing on Christ, ain't going to have nothing to do with me. It's God's work and His alone. He's pleased to speak through the full sense of the preaching of His gospel, His word. But we're not going to be scared into believing on Him. Here's what Cody said. He said, it's the beauty of Christ that draws us to Him. I love that. You know, we preach the word as it is. We either believe ourselves to be beautiful, and by nature we do, no matter how ugly we might be. we all think we're pretty. We either believe ourselves to be beautiful, or we believe Christ to be beautiful. Pray He'd show us His beauty. That's what Moses prayed. Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your beauty. Your excellence. Your majesty. Pray God won't let us be so foolish to approach Him in that day, trusting our works. That's what this message is all about. Trusting Him and Him alone. Christ alone. I believe we looked at this last time I was here, the time before, how the Father is well pleased in Christ. And only in Christ. Oh, the disciples, they fell down and the Lord came, touched them, said, arise, be not afraid. And they saw no man save Jesus only. The only one in whom the Father's well pleased. They saw their Savior, their Lord and their God. You know, many will die claiming to know God. They'll die trusting their claim on God. And then they're going to find out God didn't claim them. Never knew You. I never knew You. If we're going to be accepted, it's going to be in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6, He hath made us. He did it by Himself. He made us. It's the Father's will that He made us accepted in the Beloved. Praise His holy name. I want to show you this verse in Psalm 40. If you turn with me, Psalm 40 verse 5. This right here, this sums up my hope. Psalm 40, verse 5. I find it interesting, the psalm our brother just read out here and the psalm our brother read in the study a minute ago, they both mentioned God's wonderful works. Read this verse with me, Psalm 40, verse 5. It says, many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works, which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I pray, if nothing else today, we've seen a little bit of our Lord's wonderful works, because that's going to be our only hope of salvation. His wonderful works. That's the only wonderful works there are. You remember what our works are? Filth. Abomination. His works, every single one of them is wonderful. God didn't owe it to any man to do anything for Him. You know, we're walking this earth, and by nature, all of us are saying no God every day. Even now, when we complain every day, we're saying no God. I think I know what's better for me. Oh my God, forgive us. All His works are wonderful. Pray He teaches that. If our hope is in our works, we'll hear, depart from Thee, I never knew You. But if our hope is in Christ and His successful works, here's what we're going to hear. This is Scripture. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When I think about what God has prepared for me, for all His people, it's just overwhelming. It's like David said, my cup runs over. Nothing but surely goodness and mercy. We can't begin to enter into the things God's prepared for us, but I love what He told His disciples in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And we feel like He ain't coming sometimes, don't we? He said, I will come again. You can mark it down. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, where's He at? On His throne. There you may be also. Oh, my. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's not just our hope. He sure ain't just a fire escape from hell. He's our beautiful Savior. He's our heaven. That's one of my favorite sentences I've ever heard. Christ is heaven. I love that. You know, while this whole world's looking forward to pearly gates and streets of gold and mansion after mansion after mansion and all the things that this flesh desires, for one, they're going to be sorely disappointed lest God save them, and I pray He will. But for the believer, for the child of God, for the fool, for Christ's sake, we're waiting for Him, aren't we? I found Him whom my soul loveth. Waited for Him. I've been hoping in Him. We long to be with Him. Who's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven? All who are in Christ. All ruined, corrupt, condemned, guilty sinners who are trusting in and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for all our hope of salvation. May God cause us to see Him, how beautiful He is. Beautiful feet, they belong to Him, only Him. May He enable us to trust in Him alone. Amen.